little allocation. So although we tell you, you have to pre-order to guarantee your copy, you're also not going to give you your copy anyway. We're going to decide if you are deserving of that copy. You see? Because, I don't know, we're Black Mask? We're the, insert your publisher name here, that likes to create scarcity and pump up the volume on speccability of a comic. We know you bought issue 1 and 2, and we'll give you 4 and 5. Issue 3's going to be a bit of a bear. We're going to allocate the crap out of that one. And you know what we'll do? We'll go to a second printing. But we're going to allocate the second printing too. So, yeah. So I would say order 15. We order 15 of those, and we might give you one. Maybe. But don't get all excited. It's allocation. Beyond our control. Sorry.
Thank you for listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. This is Colin Drew with your sneak peek at next week, episode number 826 for comics, originally coming out May 23rd and May 24th. But before Drew and I get into what's coming out in your local comic book shops this coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Drew, do we have anything else fun in the world of comics we need to talk about?
We got a great question from one of our patrons. John Abel sent this in. He said, here's a question for you. You win $5 million in the lottery.
Hey.
And your spouse forces you to spend it on starting a new comic publishing company. Ooh. Forces you. You're going to spend $5 million on this. So what type of company would it be? So you think about that, Kyle, while I read his answers. So John said, John said, here's mine. It's going to be a superhero world. I'm going to start with 8 floppy books a month, 2 per week. As high end of a talent as I can find, biased, of course, on my preferred styles. I'm going to give the original writers and artists partial ownership to their creations so that they are invested. And I'm going to commit to never publishing trades or collected editions. I want this to be a company for readers who are collectors. I will publish multiple prints for public popular books as required. Each print will get a unique cover. No resurrections, no multiverses. I want what happens to these characters to have impact and meaning. If a character dies, they are done. And I would encourage this to happen occasionally to keep up the interest. A really good company name. I haven't quite figured this part out yet. Maybe Good Idea Comics? So I'm not going to be able to beat John's answer because I love his answer. It's,
absolutely.
He's thought it out well. I am going to squander my $5 million on basically an image ripoff that does not do anything supernatural. So there would be no
Aftershock.
No supernatural books of any kind. No, and probably I would limit the genres to the ones I like. So plenty of noir.
Noir, post-apocalyptic.
No soups, no superheroes at all.
But at one point, okay, so think, at one point in time, you didn't like slice of life stuff.
There would be plenty of slice of life in this.
So it's just nothing but, you know, volleyball and sword fencing and roller derby.
Slice of life does not mean sports books.
I know, but
those are the ones that pop to your head.
Yeah.
So I'd want humor. I'd want war comics. I'd want Western comics. I'd want all the genres, just nothing supernatural. I'd probably stay away from like fantasy sword and sandals types. So basically Image without any supernatural tint to it. Plenty of zombie books. And I do like the idea of 8 a month. But, maybe I could do a little more. So I'll do, you're doing 2 per week. I'll do 3 per week. What's that make me? Around a dozen books a month. So 3 a week. I only want either a, and I don't want to name any, I don't want to name writers or artists. I want all undiscovered people. And I can definitely give them partial ownership. I want some of the back end. They don't get 100% of it. So it's not like Image in that regard. They don't own it all. They got to give me a little taste. Especially if it gets optioned. I think I would print, I'd want to print trades and collected editions of the books. You would not know, you would never know if it's an ongoing or a limited series. Everything would be launched like it's an ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let you know when we get there. I would probably not do, I would probably not do second prints. You can catch it in trade. It is free money, but I don't care. I got $5 million.
Which ain't nothing.
And my company name would be Comics for Fun and Profit.
There you go. First off, I would hold the line at $2.99. I'm just kidding.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I like the idea of floppy books only. I'm not doing collected editions.
Okay.
Just for the collectors, the people that want, you know, individual books. Trying to think if I could change the ordering cycle, that, you know, 2 months out, but I'd probably keep all that kind of thing.
For $5 million, could you do print on demand?
That was the question.
Curiosity. I wonder. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I also want to poach some grand talent for things.
You know, BKV does it all.
No, I just reach out to like the canceled Matt Landis's of the world and things, and just turn them up to upside down and shake them.
Rock Up Church would be first on your speed dial.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. Resurrect something like Rat Queens.
Mm-hmm. Something like, yeah. A lot of that kind of very kitschy stuff. I may even see if I could dabble in some of the known properties, because nostalgia seems to be, you know, the biggest win at the moment. So
what from your childhood has not been mined yet? That you have a fond memory of? I was trying to think of like some of the stuff that we used to watch when you were a kid. And you know what? I wonder if you know how what long running Sonic has been as a comic. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
If they started doing comics of each game.
Yeah, which like is what each, you know, we had that conversation about Nintendo and what its world is going to look like.
Yeah, foundational games and just would that have enough? I'm trying to think
there's enough to mine in like Final Fantasy VII to just long story those characters. There's been books published in
Midgar. I wonder if the licensing fees
the politics are so high. Of Midgar and things like that.
I wonder if the licensing fees are so high that's just a barrier to entry, because people don't seem to do it very often.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just don't think the sales are there.
Yeah. But a lot of people have delved into games, you know.
Yeah.
Be it, you know, there's a Gears of War series, and there's a few, you know.
There is nothing from my childhood that I think has held up. So. Yeah. Like I've revisited stuff like an A Team or Dukes of Hazzard and
Fraggle Rock.
This stuff is garbage. This stuff is garbage. I can't believe that this entertained me ever, and I can't stand any of it now. And so I don't want to see it again. I don't want to see it as comic now. Sopranos. I would read the hell out of a Sopranos comic.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad. I would read the hell out of a Breaking Bad comic, probably.
Yeah.
So my stuff would be prestige. Like, I would want to license prestige shows that I love and have held up.
Gotcha.
So a Lost comic? Oh, that would be great.
Retconning a lot of things.
I love Lost. So I like the whole thing. So. But if you fast forwarded to maybe stuff in my 20s and 30s, we'll get away from my childhood, because that doesn't hold up for me. None of it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool, licensed properties. And I don't think that's been done. I'm going to break this down.
Like, my wife would enjoy, like, an ER comic.
Oh, my God. There was more mining of ER? Was there ever an ER comic? I bet you there was. Well, that's a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. And do you have a name? Are you stealing? Because I stole ours.
I mean, I loved the name of the old shop here in town that you always reference all the, like, the dog-eared books.
Dog-eared books?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, you were around? You were around when it was around?
Not relevant around, no. But I remember
you remember it
back from, yeah.
Ah, very cool. Dog-eared Books is a great name for a comic company. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. This was a great question, John. Thank you very much for sending this in.
Probably the first thing I'd do is I'd tap somebody else to help me, because I just thinking of the things for this, I feel completely inadequate.
I would need an accountant. Maybe exactly. I'd need a CFO. Because that $5 million ain't gonna go very far with my strategy.
And I was thinking originally, like, immediately be like, okay, no digital.
Yeah.
Only paper art.
That's so bad idea. Really? Yeah. You love, like, that. You like that.
Would you be able to hit deadlines? Or has, you know, the digitifying of everything sped things up so much that it would help with deadlines?
You're saying they can't even create it in digital. You don't want the artist using digital tools?
Correct. You know, eventually AI is taking over. So if you're going as far away as possible, I want as far away from digital art as possible to the purest form of art.
Back to the board.
Yeah.
Get your art board out, bro. And that's how you're going to do it. And we're going to do blue lines and we're going to shoot those. And that's all right. That's freaking old school cool.
Okay. Just because it would be different, because, like, the industry is going full digital colorization, digital everything, this, that, and the other. You know, half of your covers now are just, you know,
I'd like to say cheap paper, but Alterna did that and died. Mm-hmm. And I think that ship has sailed. I want it to be viable, but, you know, the $1.99 cheap paper comic just didn't take off, and that's too bad. I thought there was something there. So I would squander this $5 million so fast. God, my company would just. Would it make it a year? I don't know if it'd even make it a year. We would be. What's the company we're always making fun of that puts out, like, one comic and then
Black Mask?
We would be the Black Mask of this. Oh, God. Maybe you'd be better. But great question, John. Thank you for sending that in. Thanks for being a patron. We love you guys, so we appreciate that very, very much. Time for a break from our show to pay the bills. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfundprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfundprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show. Let's shoot on over to our previews site, our previews catalog. And we're going to go, I'm a little worried, we're going to go to mid-tier publishers. It used to be jam-packed full of 4 or 5 publishers. Yeah. And I'm curious who this is going to be.
You can't see Drew doing air quotes when we say mid-tier.
Mid-tier publishers. Maybe it's mid-tier publisher. I don't even know. So
well, we got Dark Horse, right? So that's
I, mean, I don't know.
Or no,
we start with Boom. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what else we have yet.
Well, we're starting, and then like I've got an Air where I've got Image books, and then I'm immediately into Boom.
Yes. So at page 111 digitally, well, I don't know what the 100 in the on the catalog page. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and then the first thing I'm seeing is this Sirens of the City by Joanne Starer.
Ooh.
Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, big thing for me is the Jenny Frison doing variant covers again, as well as doing a variant foil. So that's cool.
Yeah. Bands of Black Cloak and Chroma. Got half of me there. 32 pages spot color, Kyle. What do you think of that? That's basically black and white, right?
Yeah, it's very, you know, Schindler's List or whatever.
Do you consider that a color comic?
Yes, I do, because like I like Walking Dead, but the black and white of it all, there was some character confusion. Mm-hmm. Just adding a spot of color would completely correct the one thing I dislike about black and white.
Any of you printer with knowledge of the offset printing process, do you save money with offset color, or are you paying as much as you would pay if you did a full color comic? I don't think you or I know that. You might know that, Kyle. I don't know.
I have no idea.
But because it does look good. It's a little reminiscent of the black, white, and red series. But I kind of like the spot color a lot. Surprised how much I do. And if it's less than the price of a four color and just nominally more than a black and white, I can see the appeal.
Mm-hmm. New York City in the 1980s, runaway team Layla struggles to survive on the mean streets far from home. But now every supernatural creature from the darkest corners of the urban grime is after Layla and the child-to-be she never wanted growing inside of her. So we've got New York City before they cleaned up all the crime. So interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Then we go into Berserker, Poetry of Madness, number one. So I thought Berserker was a standalone thing and done. But we're going to go back to the well, keep Keanu as a creator, but we're going to let Steve Scroggie do the writing and do the drawing. So it's going to look pretty good if you like Scroggie as much as I do. And we'll see how that goes. So I guess we know Berserker issue one sold like a bazillion copies, and I'm not sure what we did by the time we got to 12, but there's a David Aja incentive.
Yeah, it's on the next 107. It's one page down.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Very nice.
But there's a 0% chance that Keanu Reeves has anything to do with this.
Why is his name on there?
Well, not as writer, not as story, just created by, which is essentially saying, yeah, yeah. He told us about the last one, and the guy looks a lot like him.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm out.
Well, I mean, he talked when the original one came out that he'd like it to be a story where he could play this character in a movie or whatnot. So, I mean, that's probably still something being workshopped.
So that makes a lot of sense to keep it out there. Yeah. Keep it going. Yeah.
About $10 a book.
Exactly. Yeah.
Alice Never After, one of a 5-issue series. Dan Panosian is splitting art duty with Giorgio Spalletti or Spalletta.
Multiple Jenny Frisons.
Mm-hmm.
And these Jenny Frisons are recognizable as her, but a little more complex than some of her others. I mean, all her stuff's beautiful, but I think it seems like this has got some stuff going on, some details that you might not get from some other of her stuff. Mm-hmm. We have Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 7 of 15. It's a 15-issue series now. I don't know if it always was. This is the Jason Aaron, Layla DeLuca book.
Post-apocalyptic.
It is good. It is really good. I enjoyed the first story arc, and I believe at the end of that, spoilers, at the end of the first story arc, issue 6, we did a giant time jump, and I don't know if that's going to be where we're starting or that was just like a taste of what the future of this world is. So I'm curious what they do with that. I enjoyed the first arc. I felt it. That could have been it. That they could have ended it.
Yeah.
And I'd have been fine.
More Power Rangers. Power Rangers Unlimited Hyper Force number one.
Yeah. This is another property that you and I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, it just missed us. I mean, I thought the original covers were cool. I liked when we did the original helmets and all that cool stuff.
You made some money on some of them, I remember that. Yes,
1,000%. But now they all make me kind of eye roll, and I'm just kind of like, now or, you know, unfortunately we are talking to people that aren't me.
Yeah. And Yuck Lee variant. Very cool.
Yeah.
Mighty Morphin with your turtles. It's a little crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dan Moore is going to do interior art on that. That's cool. Almost worth checking out.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dan Moore do turtles before?
No. I mean, this has been out. So the five issues of this are already out. I've seen the interior. Yeah, this is the collective. So I've seen interiors, but I did not read it because, you know, while I was big into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman and Robin, I just couldn't do it for the Power Rangers of the world, even with my boy Dan.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. Shit. Something is killing the children.
Frizzin going crazy.
Yeah, she's done that. She's gone to the well there for a few times, right?
Yeah, 100%.
This is, what did I say?
Tedesco's good, too.
Issue 31.
Who to know?
Amazing. I jumped off at like 3. My instincts are terrible some of the time. House of Slaughter hits volume 3 with a trade. Grimm, another one with my bad instincts that jumped off after the first arc was over, thinking it was ending. Behold Behemoth I missed, and I heard it was pretty good. Know Your Station was really fun. I like that a lot. It's collected as a trade now. Mosley, that was Rob Guillory. I skipped that one. Not sure if that was any good or not. Always heard good things about Insufferable by Mark Waid and Peter Krause, but I never revisited it or never visited it. Back to the World of Wild's End, we're with issue 2 of 6 with the Dan Abnett and Ian J. Colbert book. I enjoyed that first volume. It was pretty fun.
I don't know that I recognize the homage variant there in the small postage stamp size.
I do not either. Yeah. I do not know what that is. Such an homage that it's like a deep cut, right?
Yes, exactly. If you know, you know.
Yeah. Ghost Lore, another Colin Bunn book, one of his 47 books that he's writing concurrently. The Seasons Have Teeth finishes up with its 4th issue. The Neighbors finished with its 5th issue.
Good cover.
Yeah, it is a good cover. All their covers have been pretty good. Creed, halfway there, 2 of 4.
Continuing the Creed saga under the creative direction of Michael B. Jordan. However, he has nothing to do with writing or anything else.
What's creative direction, do you think? Like, they come and pitch him? And he's like, yeah, that sounds good. Do that.
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
More boxing. Yeah.
Hmm. Nice gig. The Expanse, Dragon Tooth. Yeah, we had that conversation, both this and Dune. We didn't watch the properties, so we won't have enough invested in to check it out in comics. So many Firefly things. It's, what was it, a 12 issue or 12 episode series?
And a movie.
Nine episodes here. I mean, it wasn't that much.
It wasn't that much, but and then we had the movie. But mining. We've continued in comics, and some of them have been quite good. So
we just mine this material.
We brown coats will continue to look for what we can.
I guess Vampire Slayer, Sis Buffy,
Fence 204. Drew is on board for C.S. Picot.
Gay sword fighters. Can't beat that.
There we go. Not the kind of sword fighting I thought, but we'll see.
It's actual swords, foils.
Gotcha.
Giant Days. I never read Giant Days, but it's a well received book.
There you go. We're into Dynamite with Shocker.
Dynamite still exists. Yay.
More Red Sonja. Okay. Drew, I'm going to count to 10, and I would like you to count the variants.
Is that what, two, under that covers
three,
list?
3, 4,
I can't.
5,
I can't. Only care of one row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times 4. That's like 45 covers.
45
covers. It's like 45 covers, dude.
Including our boy Kevin Eastman, several cosplay variants.
That's amazing number of covers.
Bjorn Barron's buried in there. Mike Mignola buried in there.
And we're excited because Red Sonja it's her 50th anniversary. We're relaunching her.
$4. I mean, so good on you there.
I mean, at this point, you'd have to go cover A.
Dude, that cosplay is dope. Shockingly good. Joanne Rosas.
Denny Fresen doing Red Sonja is kind of born for that.
Classic Mignola cover. Kevin Eastman. That's just 80s.
Do you see the Bjorn Barons?
I see it immediately. Yeah. So oh, look. Good. Decapitations.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Is the Sideshow statue cover O, is that a cosplay or is that a...
That is a statue. They've taken a picture of a statue and put it on the cover of the book.
Oh, wow. I didn't see the cosplay. What's this? Went right by it.
You are heading up to cover E. It is on paper 138.
That's digital. Cosplay? Yes. Holy moly.
That's a real lady, Drew.
That's a real live lady.
Yeah.
Wow.
Torun Grongbeck unleashes a new era for the She-Devil with a sword.
So there was a zero issue on Free Comic Book Day. If you got that, you got a taste of this. Torun Grongbeck is a woman?
That's exactly what I was like. I shouldn't say that, but that's...
Son of a bitch. How did I miss that? Torun Grongbeck is a woman. I had no idea. How long have I been doing that? I've been referring to her as a he, I think, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Since Thor.
Es muy posible.
Oh, I'm sorry, Torun.
We silly Americans.
We just didn't do any research. Oh, look at this. This should be fun. This should be fun. It looks like they're really going to have some fun with this. This looks really good. Interiors look good. Covers out the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've read so many Sid Sonja books, but shit, I'll read another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll read it again. Very cool.
Adventures of Red Sonja Omnibus, feeding $100 Omnibus from the... I'm guessing 70s, 80s.
Maybe.
Unbreakable Red Sonja trade paperback. The Jim Zub collection. The Art of Red Soma, 50th anniversary. Oh, that's right. Yeah, 50 years, 2023. Yep, 70s.
That makes sense, yeah. Invincible.
That would be the Amanda Conner and Jim Palmiotti.
Ooh, I never read that one. That would be a good one to read.
Yeah. And the coins live on.
So that's coins cool. Are back.
Oh, where do I get that Sozo Miyakia in an actual book again? That's awesome.
You want a door poster?
I don't. I'm 41 years old. I'm unaware if I can pull it off.
I don't think you can pull off a door poster.
I mean, that's one step away from anime body pillow. Boy, I love that coin number 5, the Sozo Miyakia coin.
Yeah, that is so cool. I mean, we started making fun, but I'm going to read this, I think. So you got me. Kyle Gargoyles goes Dark Ages. Spooky.
Spooky Goyles.
Probably about 30 covers here for Gargoyles. And that was a cartoon, right?
Correct.
80s, 90s?
90s. Clayton Crane, Jai Lee.
Oh, and it's got the original creators on it. Yeah. Sue Lee doing Maleficent. Maleficent. God, that was terrible. I obviously haven't seen this one. You've seen this with your kids? How do you pronounce this?
Maleficent.
Maleficent. Okay.
Yeah.
Jai Lee. On covers, but Sue Lee, no relation, doing the writing and art chores. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's right. So the guy who wrote Gargoyles, Greg Wiseman, also was very big into Star Wars Rebels.
Hmm.
So that series.
That's a connection.
Was executive producer of all 14 episodes. That's, I knew there was a Star Wars connection. I couldn't remember, and that's what it is.
Rebels is only 14 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I should bounce that out.
Shut up. You're never going to do anything. Directly from Maleficent to Scar, continuing our Disney villain series.
Mm-hmm. And then Darkwing Duck. And then Gargoyles again. The ongoing. I guess it must be doing well. We're gonna spin it off. So must be doing well.
More Jai Lee Gargoyles. David Nakamura Gargoyles. Action figure Gargoyles.
And then we're at Kong.
King Kong, The Great War, Alex Cox, Tommaso Bonacci. Again, more Jai Lee covers.
Betty Page. Mirka Andolfa.
Mm. The cosplay is not viewable. Interesting.
So are Betty Page comics like romance comics? Is that the genre that they are?
Yeah, I think so.
I would guess. Mm. And we have Victory number 2. Pathfinder, Wake the Dead. That's that role-playing game.
Yeah, Pathfinder is an offshoot of, you know, essentially Dungeons and Dragons 3.5.
Elvira in Monsterland.
David Avalon.
Vampirella versus the Superpowers. Okay.
I recognize that Jai Lee art.
Yeah. 007 for King and Country. And we're collecting the previous volume of 007. We got a Deja Thoris, number 5. Mm-hmm.
Karma, graphic novel trade paperback.
Yeah, okay. It's a sizzling soft cover.
Yeah, I was going to say that is a Stefan Sajic cover, and sure enough, that's Stefan Sajic.
So, Kyle.
Yes.
That gets us to the back half. So that means, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have Boom, we have Dynamite, mm-hmm. and that is mm-hmm. the extent of our middle tier.
Yeah.
So Dark Horse, gone. Who else is gone? IDW. Gone. So Image got moved. Well, Image is still really there. We just do mm-hmm. that. We just do that standalone. Maybe we need to rethink that. Maybe we need to combine Boom and Dynamite with Image and just mm-hmm. call, you know, then lump them all together. Because there's only two.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Or we lump them with the back half. Or yeah. we just keep doing it the way we do it. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever you think makes the most sense. But it is kind of weird, right? That we went from 4, 5, 6 mid-tier publishers to 2.
Yeah. Very, very weird.
Yeah.
The good folks at Comics for Fun and Profit have been doing 2 episodes a week. For quite some time now, and it's all thanks to, first of all, Jason, and second of all, our patrons, who allow us to add the space on our server, broadcast more, store more, share more with you listeners. I'm envious of those of you who have unlimited storage and media server capabilities. We pay for ours here at the C4FAP. It ain't cheap. We thank you so much for those of you who go to patreon.com/comicsfunprofit and contribute at any level to say thanks, to say, I want to be a part of your Slack channel conversations. I want to get exclusives. I want to get early access. I want to get ad-free access. I want to get swag. I want to get some free stuff. Whatever your reasoning is, we appreciate it at any level because it does make a difference. So from the bottom of Kyle and I and Jason's heart, thank you for contributing.
Let's look at some hot books. Maybe that'll cheer me up.
There we go. Let's head on over to our good friends at CBSI, comicbookinvest.com. Let's see their hot list and see what was happening on May 12th, 2013, starting with item number one, we have the Spider-Man 2 number one promo. Of course, you and I aren't fans of this because it wasn't necessarily a comic book shop thing. It is being asked for $20 to $30. It will keep saying that free comic book day or promo book should not be considered first appearances. They are strictly advertisements or advertisements. And if you are into that sort of thing, so be it. That being said, when I see dealers that have dozens and dozens and dozens of copies of this book, it screams, never buy the.
Just, you know what? I mean, I don't like this one in particular, but I don't think you can lump all free comic book day books into that lump. They are first appearances. They always have been first appearances. So I'd have to disagree on that.
There we go. At rank two, we have Star Wars The High Republic. Number nine, David Aja, 1 in 25. Between 50 and 75 bucks is being asked. We will admit we love Aja covers. Drew and I are no exception. There is just something so simple yet so different than anything else being put out right now.
I don't love
it. And I just get pulled into the art.
I don't love it.
It doesn't scream Aja to me, but it's very well done.
If I was like, presented this and said, who is that? I wouldn't have guessed Aja.
Yeah, I would not either. At rank three, we have Captain Marvel number 17 from 2004. CGC 9.8 is going for $250 to $300 after having dipped to just $150 to $175 a few weeks ago. Not really much of a surprise here. Just not sure that I really trust the MCU for any investment strategies at this point. It's very true. The MCU is very up and down, and we've yet to see any hard hits.
Is this a Monica Rambeau deal? Is that...
If I had to guess, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Let me look at it real quick. First appearance of Fila Vell.
Oh, yeah. Fila Vell.
Old Fila Vell.
Gotta love that. At rank four, something epic. Number one, the Simon Kadransky one per store variant. $40 to $75. Most of these appreciation variants don't do well investment-wise long-term. We shall see just how epic this turns out to be. Ghost Lore, number one. Jenny Frison's 1 in 50 variant. Cullen Bunn writing that, of course. $60 to $80 for a 1 in 50. Very similar to a lot of her recent covers, but this ghost hands and the very dark background are a very nice contrast. Man, I love rank six. Silk number one. There is a David Nakayama 1 in 25 variant. Since I don't typically look at 1 in 25 variants, I missed it. And boy, is it so good. Between 40 and 50 bucks, still like DNA, and I'm still confused why Silk is on volume 4, or is it volume 5?
Oh, I don't know if that's even... It might be 6.
Yeah. I know there was 2 in 1 year at one point.
Yeah.
Dawn of DC Night Terrors Free Comic Book Day 2023 foil variant is for a free book. It's going for $20 to $30. Is it any surprise that DC put a foil free comic book variant out? That being said, having your big three on the cover was a smart move. And it is a clever Fabok cover for sure.
Yeah, that's great.
At rank 8, Legends of Zelda number 3. $120 to $250 for a CGC 9.0. $35 to $40 for Rawls was about $20 to $25 prior. I know there is Zelda buzz since the Mario movie has done so well. I just don't get why this number three is doing well. Wouldn't you want your money on number one?
It's weird.
Very. Invincible Iron Man number 4, the second print Arthur Adams 1 in 25. So this is yet another example of a ratioed second print that nobody bought, so they're very scarce. Asking $45, not near as cool as the Layton second print a few months ago. Maybe harder to find, not sure at this point, but we shall see. Adams has his followings. And Rocketeers, Planes, Trains, and Dames, the Kickstarter book we talked about. Kickstarter shouldn't be having such high-fluting people in it, but oh well. Up ever so slightly this week to 120-130. There are few eBay than was expected at this point. Now, I know this isn't rare, just wondering if sellers are wise to play the game correctly here.
Yeah, it's... I mean... First of all, I don't think this Kickstarter should be on this list, any lists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that should be a separate thing, you know, crowdfunding, rarity. It just, it feels like a different animal. This should just be like comics that you can get through your LCD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, you know. And I mean, I just like, I hate when you just throw crap like that in there.
It doesn't
make any sense to me.
Honorable mention, we have the Amazing Spider-Man 25, Donald Soffredi, 1 in 100 variant. This is, of course, the Disney 100 black and white variant on these, $90 to $100 for a 1 in 100 ratio. Though this was worth mentioning, as the interest on these Disney 100 black and whites has waned month after month. I think this was a bad marketing idea. Should have just had the color versions show up as an incentive and have the correct titles on the book.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I do not understand why they did this this way. It really is confusing.
Yeah, a big swing and a miss by Marvel there. And the other honorable mention, Famous Funnies 213, a CBCS 5.0 going for $10,000. A Frazetta cover that is just so cool. How did these space monsters keep in such good shape? We need their workout tips.
He did not skip leg day.
Did not.
And yeah, Frazetta is cool. And I remember I was first started out in comics reading and collecting, and I'd hear about Frazetta collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a segment of people that were Frazetta collectors. And since I was like steeped in 80s comics, they didn't appeal to me at all. They looked old, boring. Yeah. I didn't see the appeal. Now that I see them resurrected every once in a while when one gets sold, I'm like, oh, I get it. Yeah, these are amazing. And but at the time, I had no appreciation for Frazetta or any Golden Age stuff at all.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Too little, too late. When I could have got, when I could have afforded some of it, now I can't.
Very cool. So yeah. Secondary market continues to do what the secondary market continues to do.
Yeah.
Now, Drew, let's head on over. Let's talk about FOC. Let's talk about what's coming out here in just a few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time we do this, I look over to my vertical monitor here, and I have my big old Excel spreadsheet here from our good friends at Cowabunga Comics and Deep Discount Comics. And they have made some updates, some creature comforts, some changes to it. So,
yes,
they have made it even easier to, as we go down and talk about these things, to just put my little ones and twos here. And it's going to keep me a running total. It's going to keep my bag and board money. It's going to do all the things I want. So they have done some better things just to make FOCing super easy and super convenient and pretty much just sucker you into buying more. How dare they?
Yeah, they keep tweaking the code on the order form and make it a nice little dynamic Excel sheet that makes it easy to order from. And it's just part of their customer service, and they're you know, they've always been great at that. Mm-hmm. So
even if you don't order from our boys at Cowabunga Comics Deep Discount, reach out to Eric at Cowabunga Comics because he can get you on the mailing list for these FOC Excel sheets.
Yeah, and you can use that, take that on in to your LCS and order it that way. I don't think he'd even mind.
No, not as well. Or you can see the prices that we're getting from our good friends. Take them to your LCSs and argue, haggle. Say, hey.
Yeah. Hey, like I need this for $2.13.
Exactly. Let's hook it up. Hook it up.
All right. It's FOC time. Let's look at DC. I keep telling you these Batgirl covers really, really make me want to keep trying.
Very, very, you know, very purpley, very good covers.
Yeah. Always great covers. Make me want to keep trying this series. Hope it hooks me.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Incorporated, number 9. Some of these covers are just whack, dude.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? I can't tell what this book is about by these covers.
Yeah.
It looks like something I wouldn't want to read because the covers are all over the place. boo.
I don't know if this is the Tap Dance Man or Corvus or whoever one of the many thousands of people are on this Batman Incorporated, but it's very cool there. And boy, Dan Mora doing a great job on Batman Superman World's Finest 16.
Yeah. Babs Tarr enjoying her little cheesecake cover that she's doing.
Yep.
Coriander's, I like that one. Good stuff there. Brave and the Bold on issue 2. A Derek Chu cover. Gonna give me nightmares.
Batman in a headlock.
Brave and the Bold. Brett Booth is a good one. Those are really fun. I'm not sure what Otto Schmidt's doing. Who is that?
I'm not sure. I mean, that's, shoot, interesting. I don't know.
Somebody's daughter, I think. A Generation Joker. Oh, Kyle, I told you about Generation Joker, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of the White Knight universe.
Yeah.
Murphy's not involved. Well, he is, but he isn't. Somebody else is writing it, so I was gonna like skip it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like,
he's the big seller.
Yeah. I read it, man. It's really good. I think I just really dig the White Knight universe and like all the characters and the reimagining of the characters, and they're fun and they do interesting things, and these two kids that are Quinzel and Jack Napier, the Joker's kids are cool, and AI Joker's cool. It's just got a lot. I mean, it sounds dumb and jump the shark type of stuff, but that first issue worked, man.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Blacksmith. Looks like they're getting another volume of Blacksmith. Mm-hmm. So that first one must have done well.
Bunch of cool Catwoman covers, be them Sweeney Boo or David Nakayama.
Sweeney Boo is especially good. I like the Josh Sway. That's pretty great. Mm-hmm. They do a good job with those. Cyborg, that old school cover, I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me. Might do something for somebody else.
Yeah, I hate him.
I'm not a fan. Didn't love that era anyway.
Moving past the Lanterns.
Little Stabbity Bunny.
Yeah, it's all that Emmett story, yeah.
So I read the first Lantern relaunch for Dawn of DC. It was accessible. It was good. I'm trying to, I don't have any like effusive praise for it, but it was good. I think there's enough there for me to come back and read another one. But I can't like wholeheartedly recommend like everybody gotta read this. Just, you know, it was good. It was good. Love this, that there's a growing up Chris Farley hardcover. I didn't know this happened.
Mm.
Are any of the like family members involved?
I would
Kevin
hope.
Kevin Farley must be his brother. Yeah, that's cool. Gone too soon. Drugs are bad.
here we get into All My Nightwings for 105. Dan Mora with cover B, the cardstock.
Dude, this is the Nightwing POV issue, right?
Mm.
Okay. So you're going to see through... you're not going to see Nightwing because you're going to be Nightwing in the
comic. Be Nightwing, yeah. Okay. So the cover A, you know, is very straightforward. What we're getting, Jamal Campbell's from first-person perspective. The Vasco Giarvie is from first-person as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's done a couple of these. Bruno Redondo has, or Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo have done these. Weird, quirky, let's experiment. I'm glad they don't do them too often. If they keep doing going to the well with this, it's going to get tiresome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So hopefully that's just like every once in a while, every 6-8 issues or something, you can do this. Superman jumped off already. Feel bad. But I'm reading Superman Lost instead, so Superman's still getting some money, you know? Titans, I'm excited to read that first Titans. I haven't read it yet. I'm excited to check it out.
Titans does look quite good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't seem to do too many team books, but I'm willing to give these guys a shot because, you know, obviously Tom Taylor gets
can
a lot
do no
of
wrong.
Now, I don't read all his stuff anymore, but he does get me to at least sample. Wonder Woman hits 800. Good for her. Brian Bolan. Mm-hmm. Dusts off his art supplies and does a cover. I haven't seen anything from him for a while. Bilquis Evely. Nice cover there. All Red. Kyle hates that one, I'm sure. Daniel Sampier doing a cover.
I don't hate the Allred. I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's pretty subdued for him.
Yeah.
Brian Azzarella and Cliff Chang working together on their cover. Oh, that's the omnibus cover.
Mm.
So 800 didn't get that many covers.
No, didn't. Doesn't seem to be quite the craze.
I guess that's they're going to celebrate the character, right? In this.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. They're just going to conclude an arc.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's dumb. maybe they're going to do some. Maybe they're going to do something. Wait a minute. It concludes. That story arc concludes, which I haven't been reading. When the dust settles, blah, blah, blah. So that story arc concludes, and then we find out. I guess it's just a long finish to that story arc. That's stupid. This should be a standalone. I can sample.
Yeah.
See what Wonder Woman's up to.
Yeah, so if you just want those covers and you just want to celebrate it, you're getting something that you may not be reading.
Yeah. I think that's a missed opportunity. What do I know? Let's slide over to Image Comics, see what they got going on. Battle Chasers is on issue 10. I didn't know that. Man.
Very cool covers.
Yeah.
I like the Chris Bacalo. That's very cool.
Ryan Katie and Andrea Muti are giving us Haunt You to the End, number one. A ghost story for the end of the world. I do understand how people have apocalypse fatigue. Sorry,
I'm just noticing it's J. Scott Campbell as a Battle Chasers and some stuff, so I'm still stuck there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's a big get there.
We will pause for J. Scott Campbell.
Yeah, the cover C.
Very nice. And Click, Click, Boom. This is a Doug Wagner, Doug Dabbs, Matt Wilson book about Sprout, a mute assassin who communicates exclusively through Polaroid pictures. It's high concept.
Okay, so I guess that will be that could be fun.
I hope that doesn't mean it's a silent issue. I hope other people talk.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Saga at 65.
Love my Lion Cat. Something epic has its there's its Back to the Future cover.
Mm-hmm. The G.I. Joe action figure homage.
But the dude is like, he knows he's stuck in the cellophane.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't quite know the cover D. I think that's something. It's just a line art for the first one, which is
similar to the one per store that came out on the first one. Yeah. I don't know if that's Ghostbusters or if that's.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not. I think we determined last time. Maybe they're not all homages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tales of Suspense, SYZ Pence.
Yeah.
This is a SYZG imprint anthology series. So it's two different stories jammed in here, two 13-page stories, I think, 12-page stories. I think I like something that the imprint did. I can't remember what I liked, which one I liked. But there was a Syzygy imprint that I liked. Mm-hmm. I don't like this confusing word play that I can't have trouble pronouncing, but
yeah.
They want a brand. They want to build their brand. Good luck. Good luck with something that does not roll off the tongue at all. New Robert Kirkman, Lorenzo De Felici. So these are the same two that gave you Oblivion Song that went on just a little too long. this is Void Rivals. And if they do it like they did Oblivion Song, they've got, I think he had 24 in the can before he put that first one out.
That's pretty cool.
So hopefully there's plenty of these already in the can. And he and Lorenzo enjoyed working together, obviously, because they're back. This is a shared universe. Okay. are we ready for that? are we ready to launch a new shared universe?
I mean, yeah.
Is it part of any universe we already know? Because it could be a part of Invincible's universe.
Yeah, or it could be a part of Walking Dead's universe.
Well, I guess it could be a part of anything. There's a surprise coming that you won't, a surprise that you won't see coming. I gotta read that first one to find out what that surprise is, right?
Yes, of course.
That's kind of exciting, unless it's just a shenanigan, which is also possible, because Kirkman likes the shenanigans.
And I dare say probable.
Yeah. Ghost Lore from Boom hits number 2. And then we have Magic Planes Walkers Noble launching with number 1, which is a magic book. Magic the Gathering book.
A lot of covers for Edge of Spider-Verse 3. A lot of Spider-Boy still continuing to be the thing. Scan with a Very Wicked Cult of Carnage Misery 2 cover.
Yeah, so more if Spider-Boy continues to be hot, these covers are going to continue to want to be sold.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Guardians of the Galaxy continues to lean into the Western philosophy of Fazal, and I, for one, am super here for it.
So we got a George Perez cover of Hulk for its launch title. That's a number one issue. It's a George Perez independently orderable. I haven't probably seen this cover before. You're not gonna see too many of these, so
we have the same thing up. The second item in this, the Avengers number 2, the B cover was a George Perez as well.
Was it like the same style as that?
Those
are tempting, right?
We also see the Invincible Iron Man number 6 is going to a second printing with a cool cover, which means there's probably a ratio that nobody's ordering. That is going to be the thing to have, just FYI.
Which one's that?
Invincible Iron Man number 6.
The second print?
Second print, correct.
Okay.
Just one lone moon. Oh, that's a poster. Never mind. But there was one Moon Knight cover.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
What happened? Scarlet Witch gets an annual. Very nice. That should be fun.
With a George Perez annual variant.
Yeah. Okay. You know, if they would have just put these out with Dribs and Drabs, I think people would have gobbled them up. But if you got to get 5 or 6 of them, that's less likely to do so, I think.
There you go. Silk number 1 going to a second print.
Oh, good for them. Yeah. It was weird, Kyle. Did you read it?
I did not jump on this one.
Okay. I'm not really going to spoil it because I think it was in the solicit, but she moved. We don't know how she got there. If she's dreaming, she might be dreaming. Okay. But she's in Los Angeles instead of New York. She's like a noir detective, private eye.
What?
Some of her neighbors and friends and colleagues from New York are in LA, but they're different people. So she recognizes them, but they're not the same person.
Gotcha.
And so that was issue 1. It was interesting, but like pretty much all mystery and all setup. No answers. And so could be fun. It could drag on. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So we also have Silk number 1 going to a second print. And if I look on my little Calabunga form here, Silk number 1 second printing, ratioed second print, is a Peach Momoko cover.
Oh, wow. And so it's going to be rare and peach.
Very cool. Oh, and it's beautiful. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You can get your Thrawn trade paperback.
It's a new printing.
And people want Thrawn to be introduced in some Disney Plus show soon.
Yes, we do.
I don't know when they're going to do it.
It will be in August. It will be in Ahsoka.
Oh, yes. That makes the most sense. You're right. Yep. I've seen nothing in Dynamite. So a Scar book. from the back half, we've got Animal Castle's second issue. So first issue's back. Still peaceful protesting by the animals to try to get rights within the castle. but now they got a taste of vengeance and a rise up. So it's kind of cool to see what they're going to do next. I don't think this is going to end well. It's really going to be bloody and sad. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it. But it's beautifully drawn and wonderfully written. So it's worth checking out.
Very cool. That's all I've got.
What is E Junkie? Experience Junkie. Okay. Like an adrenaline junkie, probably.
Yeah.
You're seeing nothing else down here that strikes your fancy then?
Not necessarily.
All right. So you must have your pick locked and loaded. You're ready to go.
I mean, the obvious one would be like Void Rivals number one, right?
Right.
You know, Silk number one going to a second print.
Yeah. But you can't get the 1 in 25.
Correct. I'm not permitting. Rules, and more rules. But I'm going with Battle Chasers 10, J. Scott Campbell.
Wow, okay.
His people like his covers. It's a very cool cover. I think it would be easy to miss and have to go back and get. And it's friggin' really nice.
Then I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit of Void Rivals.
You rock.
And see if people have slept on our man, Robert Kirkman.
How dare they?
How dare they?
All right. I guess that just leads us over to our good friends at Cover Price, where we'll look at their top 10, check out our secondary market, and see what is rolling up the charts. And we will start at number one, which is the same number one we got from our good friends at CBSI, Spider-Man 2, number one, the Gameverse Prequels promo book. This book was the talk of the town after this year's Free Comic Book Day. While many noted it was a Free Comic Book Day freebie, it was a promotional prequel comics showing the community what Spider-Man and Miles Morales have been up to since the first Spider-Man game dropped. What better way to build hype before the second game release than by showing us what the Spidey gang has been up to and introducing us to their newest villain, Hood. Not to be confused with The Hood. No. Different guy.
Different.
When the community realized that this book was, there was an immediate run on them, which drove up the price drastically. Despite a slight drop in interest in price, it maintains the number one spot on our community list here, and a lot of people are trying to secure a copy still. 109 copies sold on the secondary market, $32 being the high, near fair market value, $15.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. At rank two, Marvel Premiere number one from 1972. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is here and crushing it. Some have touted it as the best MCU release since Endgame. While not the sole focus, a key player is Adam Warlock, who finally made his MCU debut. Warlock, it had so much history with an incredibly varied backstory that could lay the groundwork for some cool stuff for the future of the MCU. 21 copies, $1,750 for CGC 9.6.
Wow.
Very cool. Good copies for $57.
Very nice.
The aforementioned Star Wars High Republic 9, David Aja 1 in 25. 24 copies on the secondary market, $30 for a raw being the high, but you can get them for maybe 64 for a night. That's pretty good for a ratio 1 in 25. At rank 4, we have again that David Nakayama 1 in 25. Really nice silk cover. David Nakayama has a bit of dropping bombshell characters onto a cover, and they proceed to go like gangbusters. He did it with Harley Quinn, Catwoman, and most recently, Silk. Silk had a dedicated fan base, and when she got the Nakayama red carpet treatment, they opened their wallets big time to secure a copy. 31 copies, $62 for raw, settling only to 57, so holding value well.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 8, Humberto Ramos. Top secret variant for Spider-Man 7, of course, was Spider-Boy. And then this is more Spider-Boy. So $132 for CGC 9.8 pre-order and near mint's $32. At rank 6, we're back to the Ambassadors, number one, the Frank Quietly image books. While this book is no longer flying under the radar, touted as the most ambitious comic book of all time, is quite the billing. Initially, most disregarded it before they got their hands on it, as Mark Millar titles can be unpredictable in their longevity. both in new issues and aftermarket returns. With the strong pencils of Frank Quietly, fans were wowed by the artistic or the fantastic art within the story's premise. Only six people out of billions receive superpowers.
I have issue 1 and 3. Somehow I missed issue 2 on this, so I'm going to go do some digging before I can read the second one.
33 copies in the secondary market. $17, but if you search around, you can find them for $5. At rank 7, Spider-Man 8. This is the Mark Bagley regular. More Spider-Boy. 26 copies in the secondary market. $16. New Mutants 98 from 1991. The first Deadpool. Of course, this just continues to pop on and off this regularly. High sale of $1,500 for CGC 9.8. $491. You're just getting floppy near mints.
Yeah.
At rank 9, you got Ghost Rider 28 from 1992. Like the Hellfire Skull of Ghost Rider, this book has been scorching multiple times in the past several years before ultimately cooling down. Then speculation fires it up again, and boom, it's back on our list. Recently, rumors begin to swirl that up-and-coming star Mia Goth is set to play Lilith in the upcoming, albeit delayed, Blade movie. Lilith first appeared in this book. 21 copies sold, $99 for a CGC 9.8, $16 for near mints. And rank 10, the Spider-Man 8 Rob Liefeld homage. This is, of course, the Deadpool doing the black suit homage. 14 copies sold, 34 for Rob.
You called that one.
Yeah.
As you know, our LCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are our LCS, and we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.
Now, rank 11, we got Something Epic, number 1. This is Simon the Kudransky, cover 8, 1 per store deal. 6 copies moved, high sale $75 for a raw. Star Wars 34, Steven Segovia, regular copy. This is the introduction of Dr. Quatta, and moved 44 copies, high sale of $29 for a near mint plus. Regular near mints going for around $13. Whatever a near mint plus is. At rank 13, we have Spider-Man 2099, number 1 from 92. This is Oscar Isaac's Spider-Man 2099. We're getting excited for the Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse. What's the name of the animated?
I'm not sure what this one is. I know the first one was Into.
Yeah. So this is first Spidey 2099. 24 more copies of this sold. High sale 55 for a 9.6, and raw is around $10. I think that's getting more than $10 for a raw.
That's what I would think too.
Yeah. Fantastic Four 310 from 1988. This is the She-Thing with Mila Kunis rumors. 22 copies sold. High sale 16 for a raw. Near mints going for around $7. At rank 15, we have Ultimate Fallout, the first Miles Morales. 21 copies moved of this. High sale of 2,000 on the dot for a CGC 9.8. And raw near mints around 643. At rank 16, we have X-Men 213. This is Mr. Sinister first appearance, I guess. 20 copies sold. High sale of 137 for a CGC 9.8. Near mints around $23. We still have that World Tree number 1 that's Too Dark printing error. That's a rank 17. Oh, yeah. Continues to sell. Some of them have been CGC'd now. They're getting $80 for a 9.8. Near mints are going around $11. But there's plenty of these out there, so I don't think they're going to last at that price. At rank 18... Star Wars number 1, the 1977 version,
This is a great key to have. High sale is now up to $3,883 for a CGC 9.8. Raw near mints around $233. I had one, but it was ratty. Well read. Rank 19, RuneScape, Free Comic Book Day 2023, number one from Titan. This is, grab your copy of RuneScape's first comic book appearance, 22 copies sold, high of $14.99, raws around $7. And rounding out the top 20 is a 1966 Amazing Spider-Man number 41, which is a Rhino first appearance, it looks like. And that's 13 copies of this moved. High sale of $500 for a CGC 6.5. Very goods going for around $289. So that is our cover price top 20. Now we're going to shoot over and take a look at what's coming out in your neck of the woods. We'll start over here in DC.
Yeah, I like some of the stuff that's coming out soon. Action Comics 1055, cover C, David Talaski card stock variant. That's a lot of iron pumping for some super lads.
Yeah, Bernard Chang's jamming some stuff in there for his version, too. That's pretty cool. I enjoy that one. City Boy launches. I don't think we're interested in this, but yep, might appeal to somebody. Fearless Dawn, that's a Asylum Press book, mm-hmm. launches with its first issue. Beater is a Sumerian imprint or publisher comic. It's got nothing but homages. Green Arrow coming out with its second issue. I like the first Green Arrow book a lot, so I'm looking forward to this.
I like the cover C, the Marco Takara AAPI Heritage cardstock variant. Very good one.
Which one was this?
Green Arrow 2, cover C.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just Society of America number 4. Don't like that cover at all.
No. The Jenny Frison Harley is good, though.
Yeah, that one's good.
Nightwing 104. Give us a little. Was that a vinyl record from Jamal Campbell? What that is, maybe not. Mm. And then the MNK Nahulapan cover B, that's kind of cool. I like that. It's like a reflection in a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's well done. Tim Drake Robin hits issue 9, and Unstoppable Doom Patrol finishes up. We were talking about the Ambassadors, so it's first issue is going to a third printing, and third issue is going to a second printing, and its fifth issue is just coming out. So a lot of stuff going on with Ambassadors. Forged for issue 3. This has been a fun Greg Rucka, but like Greg Rucka does too much sometimes.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
His backstory, like, it's just like too much stuff in the back. Like, I just want to just let me read a book and get all I need. And then down the road, if like in the trade, you want to add some of this backstory, that's cool. But there's like chapters of stuff in each comic. The
expectations are too much for you.
I can't do it. I want the comic to tell me all I need to know. Was that dumb?
No.
It's a good book, though. Pretty good.
Do we have any speculation on Ambassador's third printing? Do we have to have that third print?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of ratio it is or if there's any ratio options. That first, the Nemesis, that's a third printing special edition as well. So they're calling all these new printing special editions. What's that about? Do you know?
No clue.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So I'm trying to read.
Nice to see Nightclub come back with its fifth issue and a Temple Smith cover.
Ooh.
Yeah, our boy. Supermassive gets a one shot. And what's the furthest place?
So, okay, so Supermassive gets. Okay. Is this collecting multiple things from the massive verse all in one? Okay, just
checking. Maybe.
Well, that's what I'm reading right now. A doorway is open. Beyond it lies the Holy Grail. Yes, that Holy Grail. But why are Radiant Blank, Rogue Sun, and Dead Lucky all so desperate to get their hands on it? And who is the mysterious woman who stands in their way? Massive versed architects, blah, blah, blah.
There you go. Gotcha.
It is a 50-page, one-shot crossover event.
Okay. I'm not reading this.
We know. It's how dare you put your superheroes in your image?
Chocolate in my peanut butter. Mm-hmm. Blue Book hits issue 4 of 5.
Yep.
Still pretty good.
Yep. And we have Star Wars Hyperspace Stories issue 5, but we don't have covers.
Oh.
So just get one.
Yeah. Nick Fury gets it launch. The Del Mundo cover that's pretty cool, and a Chris Samney that's pretty cool. Iron Man's facsimile for its first issue, that's nice.
It's a nice one to have as a facsimile.
Yeah, it is. Dynamite's giving us more 007, more Darkwing Duck, some Vampirella and Gargoyles. With the back half, giving us something, right?
There's got to be something good in here somewhere.
Got to be. That's Black Tape is another one. AWA book that I missed issue 2. Okay, if I can find that. Drexler was that one from Scout that we were looking at earlier. As was Feeder. A lot of small publishers doing their thing. Pop Up is from Blood Moon. It's interesting. Well, I'm having trouble back here.
That's what I was kind of. I'm kind of scrambling.
And I'm finding the greatest stuff. I have to go back to my boys over at DC and see if relook at some of these Scout comics. Peter doesn't look good. You can't get behind City Boy.
City Boy.
Yeah. What about Drexler? Yeah, so this is Scout's new business model. Launched a big oversized number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month later, give you the full trade. So you, like so many people do, sample one, wait for trade.
Yeah. So
they don't even give you the option of 2 through 5. They give you the first issue, check it out. Then you get to order the whole trade.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. Kind of an interesting option. And I haven't given Scout any love. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to give Drexler number one from Scout my pick.
Very nice. I am going to... Man, this is an interesting week.
I mean, Chris Samney Fury is pretty nice. But
that's what I'm looking right now at Fury number one.
I'm just not sure that... It could be under ordered, but it's a $6 book, too. So,
yeah.
That's why it's kind of scared me away a little bit.
Yeah. These storms are cool, but I don't think anybody's carrying too much.
Yeah, I mean, you never know with the Star Wars. could Darth Vader, Black, White, and Red have something in there? Mm-hmm. Or Star Wars High Republic 10? Could there be something hidden in that one? You know, you don't know.
What did you pick? You picked a Scout book?
I picked a Scout book, yeah. It's called...
Drexler.
Yes, Drexler.
Do we want to take a flyer on Feeder from Sumerian?
I mean, I looked at it. I don't know what it's about. It turned me off with some of the covers.
Yeah. The second one is a Terminator 2 cover.
What is
it about? Lee Kidd was the most famous action movie hero of the 1980s, but he's fallen on hard times. With his life in a downward spiral, Kid has become a shadow of his former self. Yeah, let's do that.
Do you have a favorite cover?
Cover A makes him look like a washed up Steven Seagal, so let's go with that.
The bluish cover?
Yeah. All we want to thank you for hanging out with Drew and myself as we plunge through our sneak peeks at this week and all of our fun stuff hanging out in the world of comic books. All kinds of fun stuff, be it from a packed secondary market to all the speculation from all the different viewpoints. We've been having all kinds of fun. Follow the fun over to our good friends at Patreon for Comics for Fun and Profit. Put your questions in. We'll read them on the show. Be part of the Slack, part of the conversation, and everything else. We thank you guys. So for Drew and for myself, see ya.
In a world ravaged by war and chaos, a group of survivors must band together to brave the dangers of a post-apocalyptic landscape. The year is 2000, and the world has been plunged into darkness. The nuclear fires have burned out, leaving behind a wasteland of ruins and radiation. But amidst the rubble and despair, a glimmer of hope still remains. Join Dork Day Afternoon as they face off against marauding gangs, enemy soldiers, and even the harsh elements themselves in the world of Twilight 2000. Will our heroes survive the challenges ahead? Can they keep their own humanity intact? Or will they succumb to the harsh realities of life after the end of the world? 2 Past Midnight, an actual play podcast by Dork Day Afternoon.